Our next scripture is from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. Hear now God's word on page 980 of your pew Bible. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They were about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings to us closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and mighty God, we come to you and we listen. We listen to your word and we ask that it would guide us, lead us, and keep us. We ask that it would show us a path to follow, a path of service, service to our God, to you, a path of love of our friends and neighbor, and yes, even at times, love for our enemies. Gracious God, help us to listen to your word this day. May it light a fire within our hearts and open our minds to all the ways you are leading us. Guide the meditations of our minds and hearts as we listen to this word. Amen. When you hear the words, you're surrounded, you probably think of a specific connotation. Maybe it's my own issue of the TV shows I watch, but I always think of a certain circumstance where somebody's in a bank and they've got a bullhorn and they're yelling in. Or they're yelling to enemy troops to surrender. You don't exactly hear you're surrounded when you watch Downton Abbey. Maybe it's because of a particular frame of reference in our own culture that we don't quite see what is surrounded us. That we have to divest ourselves of our current concepts and ideas and enter into what God wants us to understand. Now, one of the easiest ways to do this is to go back to the Greek. Hebrew if we're looking at the Old Testament. And I know it's easy to say, go back to the dead language is an easy approach. But the problem is that when you translate something the first time, it loses that little something. Because we try, when we translate Scripture, to make it fit to our language. And instead, we end up using common words and common language that don't always fit. And so when you read this, you hear surrounded. But it also means encompassed. And even that divests us and moves us out. Because you don't exactly think of James Cagney in a building when you hear encompassed. Bruce Willis or even John Wayne. Maybe you think of a nice, comfortable blanket to be encompassed in, wrapped up and swaddled in. Makes me think always of when Liam was a baby and they had this thing called a swaddler, and you could literally Velcro your kids so they were like this. And you had to do that at night because Liam had to be just nice and tight, encompassed. And I think of that. But the word isn't just done there, because the Greek word has this lovely prefix called peri. Peri means around. Around. So peripateo, walking, is not just walking, it's walking around. So when Jesus is walking around the Sea of Galilee, he's taken all around. Perikomenon, or laying, or lying, around, as in laying in a manger, laying around us. Again, there's that theological idea almost of a weighted blanket, a swaddler on us. And so when we read this, we think of comfort and peace in it. And then the author of Hebrews ends there. Where the author of Hebrews begins, it's a list of events, of moments where God surrounded, encompassed, or laid around God's people. Moments where God was present. We see it at the crossing of the Red Sea, where the people of Israel are in a panic. On the one side is the Red Sea, and on the other, the army of Egypt. And God opens the sea, and they walk on dry land. God is comforting and caring. At the destruction of Jericho, where they enter a new land, God is there. When God saves Rahab and her family because of her faithfulness, God is there. Moments of adversity, trials, challenges, where God's people listened and clung to God, allowed God to envelop them and wrap upon them. When the Israelites crossed over, they were safe. When the walls shook, they had a new land before them. When a woman around her, the walls came down, and she and her family sat safely. All of them had faith. All of them performed or had moments and acts of faith in that time. But then the author of Hebrews goes on, not just with acts of faith, but with people of faith, flawed people of faith. He lists Samson, Jephthah, Gideon, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, all they did in faith. All of them were flawed, though. When we look at these historical scriptural figures, we often build them up to almost demigods in status, when really they are flawed humans, chosen in spite of their flaws. Samson, well, he's not the brightest bulb in the closet. Gideon challenges God to prove that it's God. Not once, but a couple of times. David, well, David isn't exactly the most faithful husband, not the most loving, caring father, not even the greatest king in terms of what is best for Israel. Jephthah is willing to make a rash and hasty vow. Why? Because it gets him there. And then as soon as his vow is called upon, he wants to avoid it. The fact is, every one of them is human. Every one of them is as flawed as every one of us. Maybe even more flawed than us. And the reality is, all of them are there to remind us that even though we are flawed, even though we are human, God can still use us, as God used all of the prophets, as God used David, Samuel, etc. And then God lists all that the people of God have faced through the ages, persecutions, torture, mockery, and yet the faithful persevered. They remained faithful. Under extraordinary pressures, they remained faithful. And all the while, they are encompassed by God, but also encompassed by the witness that went before. The witness that went before. You see, Scripture doesn't just tell us the story of individuals. It tells us of the story of God and how God was present in the lives of people. When Scripture tells a story of Samuel, it isn't just the story of Samuel and look at Samuel. It is the story of God walking with Samuel. When we read about David, yes, we read about all that David had done and accomplished, but we also read of how God walked with him. When we talk about being encompassed, surrounded, laying around in our scripture today, we are laid around by witnesses. Surrounded by witnesses, which should lead us to ask, witnesses of what? Now, when we look at the laundry list of sufferings, we might think of a particular word that eventually comes from the Greek, martyr. But the word martyr starts with the word meaning witness, matairon. To witness, to bear witness. It's a Greek usage, is to testify when it's a verb. What are they bearing witness to? To all that God is, to all that God has done. Let that sink in for a moment. All that God is, and all that God has done. Now, I'm going to put Liam on the spotlight for a minute. But this is what happens when you ask theological conversations of your father on the way to Target, and on the way back from Target, and then in probably about an hour after we got back. Liam was asking all these various questions of depth of theology, all these questions about what this means. Why are there so many different types of churches, Dad? What happened? I had to explain the difference in Orthodox, Catholic Christianity, Baptist Christianity. And this is why pastors' kids always have a bad reputation. Now, as I explained a little more, he asked me what in the world saints were. And I might have sighed pretty heavily, and I started by explaining the Orthodox and Catholic view, and ended with our Protestant Reformed view. Now, as I thought about losing him around the time I got to the communion of saints, the belief that we are surrounded by the witnesses, this cloud of witnesses, the saints of the church, those brothers and sisters, all the brothers and sisters who have gone before. Suddenly his eyes got wide as dinner plates as he realized the number of brothers and sisters who have seen God act and walk throughout history. As he realized who is surrounding him. Now, you can call it a communion of saints, but I always love a cloud of witnesses. Because you see clouds so often. You see them all the time. And you think about how that cloud is in our lives. You think about how that plays out for us. For me, one of the most enjoyable moments is sitting and looking at the sky and seeing the clouds. But the reality is the cloud on a good day, when you see clouds and can picture and use your imagination, that's not the cloud of witnesses we have. That's too small. Picture a gray day where the clouds are all over the sky, again, encompassing the heavens. That's the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. That's the people who have gone before, who have shown us how faithful God is. And this matters because there are going to be moments in our lives when we struggle. There are going to be moments where we hurt, where we feel pain, where we feel abandoned. And it matters to us because it gives us hope. It gives us joy. It gives us comfort. Because what we are is another witness. And just as we walk now, somebody else may have walked a similar path. And God was with them the whole step along the way, the entirety. As they witnessed, we too witness. As they saw God walk with them, we too, if we take the moments and time stop and listen. We know that God is with us. As they testified, as they witnessed, so do we. And this plays out in a twofold way. First, there is the comfort that we have of God. The comfort that God has been present for thousands upon thousands of years. God doesn't abandon God's people. God walks with them. Remember that when you're going through the thick of life, when you're struggling through the pain that comes. Remember it. When you are filled with joy and celebration. But we are witnesses, as our brothers and sisters that went before us were, witnesses to what God is doing in us, for us, in our world. And the worst thing a witness can do is what? Keep silent. We are called to bear witness, to testify in our world. And so when the trials of life come, when celebrations come, sadness comes, we are witnesses, both to testify to what God is doing and how God is, but also to remember that our story is the next generation's comfort, just as the previous generation's story was ours. This cloud of witnesses is growing every day and every year. We have been called by God to witness to all that God has done and is doing. Go forth, brothers and sisters, and testify to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now respond to God from the many blessings He has given us.